Can we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8, and our text tonight is verse 12. We're looking at the I Am sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to his precious word. Just let's unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we bless thee for the one who has loved us and washed us from sin. We thank thee for our blessed Lord Jesus, who came to shed light in the midst of our darkness. And our Father, we pray that those that are in darkness may be brought into the light tonight. That the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. So Lord, help us as we gather at thy feet, that thou wouldst speak to us earnestly and powerfully. And Lord, that men and women may be drawn to thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus spoke the words of our text this evening in the early hours of the morning. It was the morning after the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews would have lit four great candelabra in the temple area. And these were mighty lights. It was said that they shone light right out into Jerusalem, and they were a great talking point and a great focus of attention during the Feast of Tabernacles. This now is the morning after the Feast of Tabernacles, when those great lights had been put out. And we're told that early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him. And you can imagine the beauty now, the darkness of the night. The night had been dark, especially contrasted with the light that there had been before in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. But now the sun begins to arise, and it begins to dispel the darkness. And the eastern sun began to unfold the wonders of a new morning. And the golden flaming orb rose up over the hills, and the light began to stream in from the east. And increasing vigor and with unsullied purity, the light began to shed itself across the well-kept vineyards, down into the valleys of Jerusalem, then into the city, into the splendid palaces, and then would have glittered on the marble and the gold that was inside the temple itself. How it beautified everything it touched. And as the disciples were gazing, perhaps in wonder, at the scene of the sun rising, the Lord Jesus begins to speak about himself. And he says, "I am the light of the world." He says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, the light of life." And men and women, in the midst of the darkness of this world, we need to have the light. We live in a day of darkness. So many are in the darkness of turmoil, in the darkness of despair, in the darkness of the turmoil of their own soul, maybe in darkness of soul or darkness of mind or darkness of heart. And we need so much of the light of God today. There's that seeming outward prosperity in many quarters. And yet men's hearts are dark today. They have no hope, no satisfaction, and no cause of rejoicing in their hearts. And men and women, since the fall, have been found in that condition in which their eyes have been blinded and they're filled with turmoil and strife and dissatisfaction in their own hearts and in their souls. And maybe you recognize tonight that there is something of a blackness right in the very heart of your being. Well, what I want to say to you tonight is that there's an answer. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to your need. He's the one who said, "I am the light of the world." He is the one who brings light into the darkness. He is one who is able to meet you at the very point of your need.
And men and women, I want us to think about the Lord Jesus' great claim here to be the light of the world. What does that mean to you? Oh, men and women, that you might step out of the darkness and be brought into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a number of things about what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here as he speaks of himself as the light of life. Now, the light of the world. Now look at what he says here. Notice the preeminence that Christ claims. He says, I am the light of the world. Now that's a big claim. That's a big claim. Because when you look at it and when you begin to realize what he was saying, it is something staggering that he was claiming to be. We've said already that he had claimed when he said, I am, he says before Abram was, I am, he was claiming to be Jehovah, because that is the name that God gave to Moses, that I am that I am. He is the great I am. But I want you to notice the scriptures he fulfills when he claims to be the light of the world. Because what I want you to realize is that right back into the Old Testament, the one who would come, the great Messiah, the servant of God, the one who was going to lead his people into salvation, is referred to as the light. If you turn back to Isaiah chapter 49, and you look at verse 6, it says in Isaiah chapter 49, and it says in verse 6, it says, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So he says that the one who will come is going to be a light to the Gentiles. Also over in Isaiah chapter 60. And if you look at verse 1, he also describes the light. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And then in verse 3 he says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And here he is, and he's claiming this. He's the light of the world. He's the light of the Gentiles. Kings will come to thy light, and to the brightness of thy rising. So what is the Lord Jesus saying here? He's saying not only is he God, but he is the one who will bring light into the midst of this world. He is the source of light. Just as the sun is the source of light to the planets, so the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of spiritual light. And just as the sun brings light to into our earth, and all life comes from the light that he brings, so we cannot live without the light that he brings. Without him we die. Without the sun, the light from the sun, the plants will die. And then when the animals can't feed on the plants, there will be no life left. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual life comes from him. He is the very source of light. And I want you to see the scriptures he fulfills. He is claiming himself to be the one that is revealed, the great servant of God, the Messiah, the one who will come and be a light in the midst of the darkness of this world in which we live. We see the scripture he fulfills. But also I want you to think about the splendor he reveals. Because the light is a splendid thing. We all like to sit by the stream or sit by the lake and watch the highlights and the sparkling on the surface. There's something attractive about the light. Of course, there are degrees of splendor and there's degrees of brightness. But I want you to see that the Lord Jesus, his brightness excels them all, because he says he is the light. He is the light. In him does all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. And the light is beautiful in itself. We think of how the Lord Jesus revealed himself on the Mount of Transfiguration. And in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 2 it says that he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And so when they saw the Lord Jesus as he was, they saw the dazzling splendor of the light. But not only is the light beautiful in itself, But the light makes other things beautiful too. If you were to go out into the garden in a dark night and look at the flowers, what color would you see? Well, you'd only see one color, black. It takes the light to show out the colors and the beauties of the flowers. It takes the light to come into the garden and to shine and bring out the luster and the beauties of the things that are there. And I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ brings beauty into the life that it touches. He reveals the splendor of what otherwise would not be there. Because we find that the Bible calls us black. In ourselves we are black. Without the light we're black. From the sole of the foot unto the head, we are full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that cannot be bound up, neither mollified with ointment. There is that sin that makes us black. But the light comes in when God sheds His light into the heart of those that are saved. There's a wonderful beauty. There's a wonderful splendor that comes. You think of how the Lord describes His people as precious in His sight. The book of Malachi speaks of God's people as His jewels. There's something precious about them. There's something beautiful about them because the Lord Jesus Christ has come in and they're new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made them different. Well, thank God the Lord can make you different. You know, the Lord calls Himself the light of the world here. He says, I am the light of the world. And in another place He says of His people, ye are the light of the world. You say, how can both things be true? Because when we're united to Christ who is the light, then we shine out and shine His beauty throughout the world. And there's a beauty that shines in us when we have the Lord Jesus Christ abiding in our life. Do you know anything of that beauty? Do you know anything of that blessing? Do you know anything of the Lord Jesus Christ shining in the very heart of your being? Because when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the splendor of the light. But not only do we think of how He fulfills the Scriptures, we have the Scripture He fulfills and the splendor He reveals. But I want you to think about something else. We notice the shadows He exposes. You recall the Lord as He spoke in John chapter 3 and verse 19. And He says this, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why do they hate the light? Why do men and women love to get into the darkness? You know, you go into the dens of iniquity of this day and generation. And by and large, wherever you go, there's a darkness. They don't like much of the light. Even physically they don't like the light. But you know, when the Lord comes and sheds His light, He begins to reveal things. He begins to show things up. You know, in the Bible, it speaks much of the world as being in darkness. It says in Ephesians 6 and 12, the rulers of the darkness of this world. This world is a place of darkness. It speaks in 1 John 1 and 6 of those who walk in darkness. In Isaiah 60 and 2 it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And what we need today is for the Lord to arise and to dispel the darkness and shine His light into the dark places and expose the darkness and bring light where there has been darkness. But tell you this, men and women, God will expose your sin. God exposes your sin. Doesn't matter what cloak you may wrap it in. It might be a cloak of respectability, or it might be a cloak of religion, or it might be a cloak of something else. But the rays of God penetrate every cloak that you would put around yourself. There's no point in trying to hide, because God's rays expose. And you ought to thank God for the exposing rays of God. Because if you can sit in your sin, if you can go on in your sin and those things not be exposed by God. What we're talking about here is a conviction of sin. We're talking about the rays of God reaching down into the heart and bringing conviction in the heart. And if you can go on without conviction, you know, that's just the waiting room to hell. It's just the waiting room to hell. You thank God if God exposes your sin. If God is speaking to you now about your sin, if He's revealing to you the things that you have done, the things by which you have come short of His glory, then thank God for conviction. But go further than that. And listen to the conviction of your heart and come to the Savior. You notice the Scripture He fulfills and the splendor He reveals and the shadows He exposes. But look at also the salvation He highlights. What is this light? What is this light that He brings? It's the light of His salvation. It's the light that He reveals to us when He went to that cross of Calvary and died in our room and in our stead, and that He might be delivered from the darkness of sin and from the ignorance of sin, and we need to be brought into the light of salvation. And men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's come into this world to bring the light of His glorious salvation. For here He was on the Feast of Tabernacles. Those great, just on the eve of it, or the, just after, and those great lights had been put out. Now the lights that they had for the Feast of Tabernacles, they were supposed to remind the people of the Shekinah glory of God, the fiery, cloudy pillar that went before them in the wilderness and protected them. And that fiery, cloudy pillar was the presence of God. It was symbolic. It was the indication of God's presence among them. Now the Lord Jesus says, referring to the lights, I am the light. What was He saying? Saying, I am the presence of God. I am the Shekinah glory in your midst. I am the one that you look to. I am the one who can save. He can save you tonight. He can save you because He is the dwelling presence of God, the Shekinah glory in the midst. He's here because where two or three are met together in His name, there He is in the midst. The light of God has come down in the gospel message, in the meeting tonight. Oh, look to the light. Look to Him and be saved. All the ends of the earth, for He is God, and beside Him there is none else. And so we see, men and women, here in this portion of Scripture, the preeminence that Christ claims. But then I want you to see something else. Notice the proximity that Christ seeks. He says in the text of Scripture, I am the light of the world. And then He says this, He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You notice how He turns the thing round now. He speaks about Himself. He says, I am the light of life. But it's not just something airy-fairy. I am the light of life. Some philosophical, theological notion that is propounded here. But He turns it round. He brings it down to the ordinary man. He that followeth Me. What do you do with the light? You come to the light. What do you have to do with the light? You must be drawn to the light. You must come to the place where the light is. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Lord describes His people like this. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God's people, His peculiar people, His saved people, are a people who have been called out of darkness and they've been brought into light. Have you ever been? Have you ever been drawn out of the darkness of your sin, out of the darkness of this world? Have you ever been brought to the light of God? What will it mean? What will it mean if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, obviously it means a closeness. It means an intimacy. It means a relationship, a nearness, a fellowship, And that's what the Lord is inviting you to. Men and women, you think of this. Poor, benighted sinners. The Lord Jesus, the blessed, pure Lamb of God, He wants to bring you into fellowship with Himself. Oh, that's what the Israelite people longed for, fellowship with God. In the tabernacle, the high priest could enter in once in the year into the holy places, and he had to bring the blood. But now, by the blessed blood of the Lamb, you can come near. He wants to bring you close. The Bible says, without shedding of blood, there's no remission. The only way that you can be brought nigh to God is through that blood. Because in ourselves, we're rebels against Him. We're going down the road that's leading us to a Christless eternity. But the blessed Lamb of God died on the cross. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He bore my punishment. He took my sin and my sorrow. And He made them His very own. And I, a rebel sinner, He brings to Himself. And not only does He bring me to Himself now, but He brings me into fellowship with Himself in eternity. He loves us. He wants the fellowship of His people. And the Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are you walking in the light of God? Are you walking in the light of God? He wants to bring you into fellowship. He wants to commune with you. He wants you to be His friend today. Oh, what a high privilege. What a mighty thing that God is doing for you today. Oh, come to Him. There is a closeness that is brought about here when we follow Him. But not only is there a closeness brought about when we follow Him, but there's a comprehension brought about when we follow Him. You see, the Lord not only brings us into the light of salvation, but He brings us into the light of comprehension, into the light of wisdom, into the light of knowledge. You know, we often talk about the light of knowledge, or that time in history when there were so many discoveries is known as the Age of Enlightenment. But I want you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ here, you know what He's claiming? He says, I am the light of the world. And what He is claiming there is that there's no real knowledge, no real wisdom outside of Him. No knowledge. No knowledge outside of Him. You know, there are those today and they want to separate science and religion. They want to say that science is one thing and religion is another thing and never the twain shall meet. And the implication is that science deals with the real world and religion deals with another world, a spiritual world, but it's not real. It's not real. Well, I want to tell you this, men and women. Any knowledge that men propose to have and profess to have that does not have the Lord Jesus Christ and God at the very center of it is not knowledge at all. After all, He is the one who made the world. He is the one who upholds the world. And so anything that is proposed outside of Him is not knowledge at all. But let me tell you this, men and women. When a person is saved, when they become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ, they get a whole new outlook. They begin to see things that they never saw before. Things begin to make sense. You know, there's a lot in this old world of ours that doesn't seem to make sense. There's a lot that we might question. And I'm not saying that those who are God's people have all knowledge. We don't. There are things that God does not reveal to us and things that are hidden in His plans and His purpose. We don't have all knowledge. But I'll tell you this, that when we get the knowledge of God, the old hymn writer said, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. We're brought into the light. We begin to see things through the spectacles of God's precious word. And things begin to fit. And the pieces that were all scattered about begin to get into place. Because we have a knowledge. You know, the Lord Jesus, or Paul, and the Lord speaking through Paul in inspiration, when he wrote in Ephesians, He said, for ye were sometimes darkness. These are God's people. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And he says, walk as children of light. That's what God's people do. They walk as children of light. So there is a closeness brought about when we know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's comprehension brought about when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light. But then there's something else. Not only is there closeness and comprehension, but there's a conformity brought about when we know the Lord Jesus. Because if we follow him, what are we doing? We are obeying him. We are doing what he says. This involves, when we follow him, we're following the leader. We're following where the light is. And of course, you think of the children of Israel in the wilderness. The great lights had just been put out on the Temple Mount, speaking of the Shekinah glory. And what did the children of Israel do with the Shekinah glory? Well, when it moved, they had to move. And when it stood still, they had to stand still. And as a Christian, we follow him. We follow him. Follow him wherever he leads us. Where he leads me, I will follow. Follow on. He wants us to follow the light. And let me tell you this. Any true Christian will not want to walk in the darkness anymore. We don't want to walk in the darkness. When we have come to the light of Christ, we don't want to go back into the darkness. Because he has blessed us with innumerable blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Men, women, are you walking with him? Have you that proximity with the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the proximity that Christ seeks. He wants your fellowship. He wants you to follow him. He wants to be your master today. Oh, men and women, come to him today. He says, I am the light of the world. So we notice the preeminence that Christ claims. We notice the proximity that Christ seeks. But then I want you to notice something else. Notice the privilege that Christ gives. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, he that followeth me, what? Well, here it is. Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So when a child of God comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't walk in darkness anymore. You know, when you don't walk in darkness, but you walk in the light, there's a lot of perils that you escape. In John chapter 11 and verse 10, it says, if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. I want to tell you that a lot of people in this world, and they're stumbling. People who are lost. What happens when you're in the dark? You're lost. You're lost in the dark. Young people. Older people. And they're lost. They don't know where they are in this old world in which we live. Oh, there are people who are looking in this old world for something to bless them. Looking in the floodlights. Looking in the stage lights. Looking here and there for satisfaction. But you'll never get it outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a young actor one time who came to a gospel preacher and began to speak about the things of his soul. And the preacher said to him, he said, I'm surprised to see you. He says, there's a lot of people who would be surprised that you're here because you're an actor. You have had a certain amount of fame. Your name has been in the floodlights. You are getting up in the world of stage and film, and you seem to be on the way up. And he says, many people would say, that's a happy world. He says, are you not happy? Well, the young man said, preacher, there are people in my world, and people think to say that they're happy. But he says, in my world, you'll find attempts at happiness. And you'll find a pretense of happiness. But you'll never find real happiness. And there's so many people in this world, and that is exactly what they have found. They're lost in the darkness of this world in which we live. Not only are people in this world lost in the darkness, but they can be hurt in the darkness. You notice what he said, if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. And when you stumble, you're hurt. There are a lot of hurting people, aren't there? A lot of young people who have nothing to live for, who have nowhere to go. A lot of young people despairing of life. A lot of young people even who are taking their own lives rather than face this world in which we live. A lot of people are not only lost in the darkness, but they're hurting in the darkness. I read a story of a young person, brought up a young Roman Catholic, and he'd gone to the U.S. Naval Academy. But in 1972, he had a car accident. He was left in a wheelchair. They prayed to God that God would heal him. But God didn't heal him, and he concluded that there was no God. And he'd said, I will live the life of an atheist. And not only a life of an atheist, but a life of unrestrained pleasure. And he thought that he would fill himself with the lusts of this old life and everything that he could lay hold upon. But it wasn't long before he found the shallowness of that kind of a life. And the hurt didn't go away. But he said, rather than leave the shallowness, he said it just left him into increasing participation in those things. The very things that weren't even bringing him joy, but he felt that if he would go deeper and deeper into those things, that somehow he might find satisfaction. In 1976, he left college and he went into real estate. And he had some offices and he rented some of the offices out to an architect. But it wasn't long until he received news one day about this architect, that this architect had taken his life. And that confused him, because the young man felt this architect had achieved all the things that he was aiming towards. He had lived this life, and he seemed to have all that he wanted, and a lot of material well-being, and things seemed to be on the up and up. And the young man began to wonder. And then something else happened in his life. One night he was with a group of friends and there were some drugs being pushed around and there was a joint of marijuana. And as he was smoking this joint of marijuana, his father came in and saw him. And the young man was ashamed, but he was defiant. And he just went on smoking the joint of marijuana, defying his father. But though he had defied his father, he knew that he had done wrong, and he knew that he had hit rock bottom. And so he went out and he decided that he would end it all. He would end his life. There was no satisfaction in these things. And he went towards the medicine cabinet to get some sleeping tablets. He was going to take an overdose of sleeping tablets. But as he was on the way to the medicine cabinet, he saw a New Testament that a girl had given him 2 years before. He'd never bothered about it. It just lay there. But he decided to read it. And this is what he said. And I quote from him. He said, as I began to read, I noticed that I had never heard much of what I was reading. A lot of it was different from what I was taught as a child. All of it was different than my self-made opinions about Jesus. One of the first passages that stood out for me was the Gospel of Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And he said, that really struck me. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And I began to read on. And he began to realize that the source of his sorrow and the source of the need in his heart was the darkness of sin. And bowing his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, he confessed his sin, became a Christian. He says this, from that day forward, Christ has been all to me, and following him, the delight of my heart. Oh, he was hurting in the darkness, but he found the light in the darkness.
And when the light shone in, he found the answer to his need. And so will you. So will you. The answer to your need is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. You may be lost in the darkness. You may be hurting in the darkness. But Christ can bring light into the blackness of your situation. Oh, come to him tonight. Bow the knee before him. Accept him as your Savior. And he'll wash you and make you clean and give you all that you ever needed. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Can we just unite, please, in a word of prayer? And if God has been speaking to you, if God has been dealing with your heart, if you realize that you need to be brought into the light, well, Christ is the light of the world. Come to him tonight and be saved. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for the light that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his mercy. We thank thee, Lord, that the darkness of this world all flees away when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, bless thy word and draw sinners to thyself. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen.